Will members please register their presence by voting? Clerk, please take the quorum.
36 present, 4 absent.
Representative Urien?
Mr. Speaker, because he was called away unexpectedly, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Burns be excused from the call of the House today through the 26th.
Hearing no objection, the motion is adopted. Representative Miller?
Speaker, in addition to now Representative Burns, Representatives Anderson, Brown, and Lathine are excused from the call of the House, which I presume accounts for all members.
Representative Urien?
I'd also, at this time, Mr. Speaker, move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Lathine be excused from the call of the House on the 25th, which is Saturday.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Member will be excused on the date indicated. Our chaplain today is Pastor J.R. Matthews of the First Baptist Church. The House, please rise for prayer.
Dear Lord, for this new day and all the privileges and opportunities and challenges of hard work that it affords, we offer to you our gratitude. For the privilege and opportunity of hard work, we offer to you our gratitude. As members of this legislative body conduct the affairs before them and as they determine the laws of this land, we ask that each be the recipient of an extra portion of wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
Representative Bradley?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that prayer be spread upon the throne.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please certify as to the correctness of the Daily Journal.
As chief clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 45th day and House Supplement Number 14.
Representative Miller?
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that this body approve the journal as certified by the chief clerk for the 45th day and for House Supplement Number 14.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us down to introduction of guests. Are there guests for introduction to the chambers? Representative Haugen? Representative Swanson?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, this morning, two guests from Fort Yukon, and one really needs no introduction because we see him around the halls of the legislature anywhere in the state quite often, Jonathan Sullivan in Galilee. And also with Jonathan this morning is the city clerk for Fort Yukon, May Peters.
Representative Gardner?
Mr. Speaker, Representative Freeman and I have a group of students also from the Ketchikan area with their chaperones. And the students are Tim Volpe, who is the president of the Youth Advisory Board in Ketchikan, Nina Kozinski, Tom Denny, Daryl Wallace, Karen Bailey, David Clark, Lynn Porter, Terry Wilson, Brenda Evans, Wally Charles, Terry Stearns, and their chaperones Cindy Scott, Bill Ryerson, and Ada Modig in Galerie A.
Representative Chatterton?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have the light of the life of one of our colleagues in Gallery B. I would like to introduce to this body the presiding officer of the North Star Borough, Karen Parr.
Representative Duncan?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, it's my pleasure to introduce a constituent of mine and Representative Miller's, Mr. Trevor Davis.
Representative Cotton?
Mr.
Mr. Speaker, I have a friend hiding in the gallery B back here, too, a friend of mine from Chugiak and a former opponent, Rick Halford.
Further guests for introduction? If not, are there any messages from the governor?
There was a letter from the governor concerning the establishment of a resident Alaska fishing fleet on bottom fish stocks and onshore processing facilities, and also inviting two members of the House to join with an administration team regarding same. This letter was duplicated yesterday and placed on each member's desk. There's a letter from the governor attaching the report by the Office of Telecommunications, and this has been placed on each member's desk also. I have no further messages from the governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
The Senate adopted legislative citation, the 1978 National Cross Country Ski Championships, and it is returned. This citation has been sent to enrolling. The Senate adopted the following legislative citation, and it is transmitted for consideration, congratulating the Kotzebue Huskies by Senator Ferguson. The Senate has passed the following, and they are transmitted herewith for consideration. Senate Joint Resolution Number 45 by the State Affairs Committee, relating to proposed Internal Revenue Service regulations relating to state deferred compensation plans and supporting H.R. 10746.
Refer to the State Affairs Committee.
Senate Bill Number 460 by the State Affairs Committee, an act relating to declarations of candidacy by candidates for statewide office and providing for an effective date.
Refer to the State Affairs Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 824 relating to representation in court under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Chatterton, Bradley, Parr, and Carpenter. Mr. Hayes has no recommendation. House Bill 824 has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce has had House Bill 849 relating to group disability insurance under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendments. The report was signed by Mr. McKinnon, Chairman, concurred in by McKinnon, Chatterton, Bradley, Parr, Carpenter, and Hayes. House Bill 849 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, could we revert to introduction of guests?
Hearing no objection, revert to introduction of guests. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, there is an association in the state called the Alaska Association of Helping Services. Includes a number of the organizations which do a lot of things that need to be done in the state, and a number of those members are present in the gallery. It's Mr. John Garvin from Alaska Children's Services, Billy Hardy from the Kenai Care Center, Esther Downs and Phil Gilbert, both from Hospitality House in Fairbanks, Eileen Hahn from Turning Point Boys Ranch, also Ken Hahn, Dave Cease from Alaskan Youth Village, Russ Christensen from the Juno Receiving Home, Jerry Gaines from the Booth Memorial Home, and Bob Childs from the Kodiak Baptist Mission.
Representative Meekins? House, please stand at ease. We're down to reports of special committees. Are there any reports, special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of resolutions and citations?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of House bills?
House Bill 858 by the Rules Committee by request of the Legislative Council for the Interim Committee on Insurance, an act relating to insurance rate regulation and providing for an effective date.
Refer to the Commerce Committee.
House Bill 859 by the Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, an act relating to the operation of certain motor vehicles.
Refer to the Committee on Health, Education, and Social Services.
I have no further bills for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Clerk, please read the first item on the calendar.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 394 by the Finance Committee, an act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 394 under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 394, and that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cooper, Chairman, concurred by Duncan, Freeman, Rode, Haugen, Guy, Schaefer, Meekin, Swanson, Buchholz, Greening, and Cooper. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that the House Finance Committee substitute be accepted in lieu of the original bill.
Hearing no objection, committee substitute's adopted. Is clerk of any amendments to the committee substitute?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent that House Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 394 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Clerk, please read Senate Bill 394 in third reading.
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 394 by the Finance Committee. An act making a supplemental appropriation to the Department of Health and Social Services and providing for an effective date.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, this program, this money is for the first section, $458,900, is for the continuation of the Homemaker Services Program. This is it's an unusual case. I think almost everyone in the legislature, in fact, I have never talked to anyone who disagrees with the intent of the program. That is, it's at-home care for elderly and invalid people, Alaskan residents. And it's an alternative to institutionalization and a very good one. And what we do is we provide salaries in small amounts. It was $3 an hour. It's been raised to $6 an hour for those persons who take care of the elderly or the invalid persons in their home. They come in and for instance, cook meals for them, take care of other things that they can't take care of because of incapacity in one manner or another. And it's an excellent program. However, it's surrounded by a tremendous amount of controversy. There have been hearings in the Senate, in the Senate Health, Education, and Social Services Committee, hearings in the Senate Finance Committee, hearings in the House HES Committee, and my subcommittee of the budget, Health and Social Services, is currently taking testimony on this very subject. In fact, we have a meeting this afternoon at 3:00 looking into it. The controversy that surrounds it is so intense that at least several members of the other body have called for the dismissal, that is the firing of the Director of Social Services because of what they consider to be malfeasance under this program. At the same time, of course, supporting the supplemental, supporting the concept, but thinking that the management of it has been so poor that the director should be changed. In addition to that, in testimony for the House Finance Committee, an administrative person, but not the director, admitted to the Finance Committee that the problem, in one word, was mismanagement. That's a fairly incredible statement coming from a fellow bureaucrat about another bureaucrat. Normally, we find in the Finance Committee that one supports another. Well, we have a great concern with this program, and I'd be very reluctant to send out this money, even though without it the program will be shut down by the end of February, absolutely shut down, and will really injure a lot of citizens in the state who are benefiting from the program. But even with that, I would be a little concerned to pass this out were it not for the fact that we have a new Commissioner of Health and Social Services who I served with, and I know, Mr. Speaker, you served with in this body previously, and I have great faith in her wisdom and in her attempts to change this program and improve it. So I suggested to the Finance Committee, the House, and I think they agreed, they did in fact agree, to pass it out believing and knowing that the Commissioner would improve this program and some of the other changes that we're making in the current budget. So I think we can approve this money. We have to approve it in order to continue this program. It's a very beneficial program, and I would answer any questions on the specific uses of the money if members have any.
Is there further discussion? Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Last summer, sometime, a few people from Anchorage called me and asked me what was happening with the Homemakers program in our area. And at that time, I wasn't familiar that a bookkeeping agency has been contracted out to do this kind of performance for the people. The concern today is still the same as when they contacted me last summer, and that is that there is no quality control in the delivery of the program, that there is no accountability that would be necessary in delivering the program. Also, that the belief is that the agency, the bookkeeping agency, is the administering agency as well as the Division of Family Services. There seems to be a dual boss for those people who are employed in this homemaker services program. I voted do pass, and I will vote for this supplemental appropriation, this appropriation here, because I feel the program is well needed, and it is something that the poor people who are ill, the elderly, can make use of it. But I'm really concerned with the kinds of administration that we have. I know that Representative Meekins is going to investigate this further, but I would really want this whole body to pay more attention to this program, because it is a good program just going down the drain. Thank you.
Representative Dankworth.
Mr. Speaker, I'm concerned a little bit. Maybe Representative Meekins can answer the question. Is this money for services beyond that which was appropriated last year, or they need more money for more services? It's not hardly, or at least it raises some question in my mind when we come here and just say that somebody's responsible for bad management, and we've got $500,000 that we need to make up for bad management. I hesitate, even though it's a good program and I support it, to have people come in and say that we just needed more money during the year than what was appropriated, so we went on. How much of it is mismanagement, and how much of it is just that they needed more money for more services than the legislature appropriated?
Representative Meekins.
Speaker, that's an excellent question, one of which I should have mentioned in my previous remarks. As one would imply, I suppose, that since there's tremendous mismanagement, I might add that since I spoke, there are at least two other members who would support the firing of the individual responsible for the mismanagement. I've got notes on that. And if you add my vote, then we're getting there. But the 458.9 is not due to the mismanagement. It's due to increases in services rendered. We have indications of the hours provided, and the hours provided of service have increased, and that's why the money is necessary. The mismanagement comes from a lot of other things. Maybe I should just run through them. There is, of course, I think, some culpability in the fact that the services were expanded and without regard to the appropriations that would be necessary, and without really anticipating the increases in costs, and really not knowing the consequences of the expansion of the program. So in that respect, there is some culpability in regards to the money. However, I think it's more than warranted that we expand the program wherever it's needed. So I don't have any problem with expanding the services rendered, but I do have a lot of problem with the way that's been handled. And we have a contract that, previously the homemaker services was handled as a bureaucratic matter through the normal system. And in an attempt to save money, a contract was let to a local bookkeeping service here called Warner's Bookkeeping. And there it was a very extensive contract, and it called for training of the homemakers. It called for interviewing, hiring, firing, oversight, all the things that one would normally do in the management of such a service. But in actuality, that contract was violated, completely violated, and the only service that the bookkeeping firm actually provided was bookkeeping. And in fact, that was rather much of a paper shuffle, because a lot of those calculations were done in the same manner they had been done previously, that is, by the Division of Social Services. The information was sent to the bookkeeping firm, and the checks were written out of the firm. They did not provide any training. They did not do the interviewing. They did not do the firing. They had no real oversight. They had no control over the program. So the contract was a sham, and in fact was violated, which raised some real questions, I think. And what we understand it to be now is a method of getting around paying certain benefits that would be paid if the people were under state contract, and making it appear to have reduced overhead costs when overhead costs have not actually been reduced. So there were other questions like that, and other members may want to talk about it. But the mismanagement primarily was due to those types of things, and that's what the concern is. Although there is, of course, some responsibility in mismanagement for not anticipating and not clearing with anyone and not getting legislative approval or even touching base with the legislature in terms of the added requirements that we would have to come up with in terms of funding.
Representative Carpenter.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think a couple of more things ought to be said. I think that the concept of state government contracting out with the private sector is a good one. This situation that developed in the homemaker services can give that concept a bad name. And I think that we should stress or underline the idea that the bad management of this contract originated in the Division of Social Services, and that this isn't necessarily how should not be used as an example of how one contracts with the private sector to perform a service for government. Secondly, we're of course talking about the director of the Division of Social Services, and in response in part to Mr. Dankworth's question a while ago, I call attention to the memorandum sent by the director of the Division of Social Services to the commissioner of the Department of Health and Social Services on November 30th. And there is a paragraph which reads, when it was realized the division would be unable to stay within the FY78 authorization of $464,800, the following drastic measures were taken. Well, the significance of those three lines is that with the fiscal year beginning July 1st, it wasn't until October 25th that division was aware that the homemaker services program was running at nearly twice the rate that had been anticipated, to the extent that a supplemental would be necessary in nearly the amount of the original appropriation for the program. In other words, they're running about 100% ahead of what they had anticipated. Well, that speaks of mismanagement if you are nearly halfway into the fiscal year before you know what's happening to you. Something's wrong with your division. But as to why we should pass this appropriation, this. On October 25th, the Director of Social Services announced that in order to put the brakes on the program, among other things, he would close any service to a person when an alternative was available. And the only service that would continue would be necessary for life protection reasons. Well, what that amounts to is an elderly lady in a log cabin in Fairbanks who is being visited by a homemaker to provide some desirable service, suddenly it's cut off. And she doesn't understand why or appreciate why, nor do I for that matter. Some mismanagement in the Division of Social Services. And we as a legislature or as a house shouldn't refuse the supplemental appropriation for a program that's performing a service just simply because it was mismanaged. It isn't the first one that's been mismanaged by that division. The first round of letters last year I got in regard to the division came when the same kind of thing had happened with daycare support. A woman had gotten a job and had counted on the daycare support for a kid, and suddenly when it was realized they were over budget to a drastic degree, the brakes were put on it and she didn't have it. She had to quit her job. This becomes nonsense. We should attack the problem where it really lies in the management within the division, not attack this bill itself simply because it's a supplemental. I'll vote for it.
Representative Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I will support this bill, but I'll be real reluctant. But I would like to ask Mr. Meekins, seeing that this bill was waived from the HES committee, that when an investigation of this program, that he would include the House HES members on it.
Representative Meekins.
Speaker, I'd be more than happy to do that, of course, and there's a standing invitation for any House HES members to attend my committee hearings. And in fact, we do have one representative as a liaison member on that committee. I might point out a couple of things. One is that the commissioner, Byrne, of Health and Social Services, newly appointed commissioner, has definitely committed before the House Finance Committee to re-advertise the program. That is, starting over from scratch in the manner that it used to be. It used to be, it was this year, but the end result was different. Advertised and a contractor who would really provide a lot of these services in actuality, not just on paper, would take them over. But this year, the contract went to the bookkeeping firm. I might add that I'm not trying to say that the bookkeeping firm is at fault here. I don't believe that. And I agree also with Mr. Carpenter that this is not should not be used as an example so that we should not contract to private agencies. I think, of course, we should. But you can't pretend to contract with a private firm and then actually do it yourself. I think that's where we get into the skullduggery that we found when we looked into this. And secondly, the number of persons, at least in this body, that would support the firing of the individual of Director of Health and Social Services, and I don't mean to say this flippantly, Mr. Speaker, but it's growing exponentially as I sit here, and it's now up to 7.
Representative Urien.
Mr. Speaker, I would caution those members in this body who call for the firing or dismissal of somebody who necessitates a supplemental appropriation for whatever the reasons may be, because there's going to be a day not too long when we're going to have a substantial supplemental appropriation to fund the legislature. And I'm wondering who we're going to call on for the firing at that time for mismanagement of funds, and wonder how much more services the public will derive from that supplemental.
Representative Osi. Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, of course, Representative Osi is exactly correct. There have been those complaints in the past, and in the past, on other programs, nothing's been done. But I can guarantee my colleague from Palmer that I have every intention, and I'm sure if you'll ask the other members of my subcommittee, you'll find that they have every intention of making the appropriate changes and making sure that they are conditions of the appropriation that we will be allowing for the coming fiscal year. The problem, of course, is that you can't do that haphazardly. You have to get into it, I think, roll up your shirt sleeves and really try to make some sense, give some explicit direction, work with the commissioner if possible, and make the changes that are appropriate. And that's the manner in which we're going to proceed. But in regards to this supplemental, if we don't have it within a few days, Mr. Speaker, we're going to lose this program. It's going to be severely cut back for at least a couple of months, and perhaps the rest of the year if we never did fully fund it. So those of us that support the program, we've got to get the money out, and I think all of us do. We've got to continue the program and then address the mismanagement. And I have every intention, and I want to assure all the members that because I'm advocating this appropriation without having a final solution, That in no way indicates that I do not intend to find one, and I think we will get started on that at 3 o'clock this afternoon and proceed until we finally arrive at it.
Representative Swanson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I look hard-nosed at any supplementary appropriation, and this was just another one that I took a hard look at. And if you noticed the other day that I saw one of those particular supplementary appropriations that I voted against because it was in direct violation of our Constitution. But in this case, I think that we are responsible for not putting the arm on a administration that wrote some loose-goosey regulations that allows these kind of things to happen. And I think that in this supplementary appropriation, we are bound by our own law and regulation. But there certainly should be some real hard-nosed review of the regulations that allows us as a legislator to get into this kind of a bind. On those grounds, I supported this supplementary appropriation, the Finance Committee, and I'll vote for it today. But I certainly will look, and I do look, at every supplementary appropriation that comes to us, because this one has to be passed. But by the same token, we should take more of those regulations before our Regulations Review Committee, or we'll continue to be in the same bind that we're in today.
Representative Phillips.
Through the chair, Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief explanation of Section 3, the $41,000 appropriated to the Division of Public Assistance?
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, in late January, I had a call from a downtown minister in Fairbanks, whose church has always been one of those that gives help to an awful lot of people. He was very much concerned about the problem with people getting food stamps. The time it took to do that had gone up, and people were hurting. The unemployment rate around 20%, and no sign of it improving. So I went to Fairbanks for the hearing on the permanent fund, and at the same time investigated the situation and found out it was probably a little bit worse than he'd told me. I did talk to the commissioner, and some action was taken immediately. For example, there was a vacant slot in that office that had not been filled, had been frozen for some reason, and with a little bit of kicking in the right place, we managed to get it unfrozen and get it filled. They also lent a person from Bethel office who was temporarily not needed for a week to improve things. But the situation, obviously, these were simply temporary expedients. And in following up on this, we found out that the situation in Anchorage was perhaps worse. In fact, the person who did the looking into this said that the, I'll quote here, "Before addressing the Fairbanks situation, I would like to point out that Anchorage is potentially more explosive than Fairbanks, as their backlogs are even more severe. Quite frankly, I'm surprised we have not seen some press coverage focusing on the Anchorage Public Assistance Office." So when I got this information, I went back and talked to the commissioner again. It was obvious that they needed some help between now and the end of the fiscal year. And I'd like to point out that the $41,000 in the bill is only for the rest of this fiscal year. Mr. Speaker, the turnaround times both Anchorage and Fairbanks on AFDC applications running 29 days, for food stamps in Anchorage 29 and Fairbanks 27. They're pushing the actual federal limit. If they go over that limit, over 30 days, we lose the money, the federal money that gets into these programs. On the food stamps. And the situation is actually rather serious. The appropriation would provide for 6.5 full-time positions the rest of this fiscal year. One of those would go to Fairbanks, the others would go to Anchorage. The caseload in the South Central office in Anchorage in December, Mr. Speaker, was 2,260 AFDC cases and 1,650 food stamp cases. Fairbanks was running right about 550 on the food stamps, and I can't remember the AFDC, but it was somewhere in the same neighborhood, around 500 or 600. This is, Mr. Speaker, a temporary expedient. The bill, as you know, I was going to introduce a separate bill in the HES committee, but we had this Senate bill going through, and I did waive referral, so I did ask the Finance Committee, however, to attach this amendment to the bill as it went through the Finance Committee, which they very kindly did. I would like to make out one final statement, Mr. Speaker, which perhaps is the most important statement of my little talk here, which is that this is not in any way under the division headed by the gentleman to whom Mr. Meekins has been referring.
Representative Osi.
I must, in my behalf, my good friend, Mr. Meekins, not even derogatory against him, but he's been something who's been doing a tremendous job. I want to compliment him, but he's looking at things that is uncovering things. And all of this, I'm going to be glad that he's going to cure. Thank you.
Further discussion. Ready for the question. Question is, shall Senate Bill 394 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Clerk, please lock the roll. Does any member wish to change his vote? Clerk, please take the roll.
Four yeas, two nays, four excused.
So Senate Bill 394 has passed the House. The bill does carry an effective date clause. Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'll ask unanimous consent to the roll call on Senate Bill 394 be considered the roll call on the effective date clause.
Hearing no objection, motion is adopted. Brings us to the end of today's calendar and down to unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business come before the House? Special orders. Are there any special orders? Representative Miller.
Speaker, I'd like to realize very briefly to compliment three committee chairmen, if I may. Yesterday afternoon, Chairman Osterbeck held what I think was a very historic session. Using the teleconferencing process, he held a conference or a hearing on a exclusive guide licensing unit bill here in the Capitol, and people testified from in Nome and in Bethel, Anchorage, and in Fairbanks. It was very wholesome testimony. The quality was excellent. The handling of the committee was just really super. And I think that was just really a terrific experience. Now, that was the audio teleconferencing concept. Tomorrow, I believe, Representative McKinnon will also have one of these audio teleconferencing hearings, which perhaps he'll give a little bit more information about under committee announcements. This afternoon, Chairman Parr is going to break additional brand new ground with a televised teleconferencing hearing in which people will actually be able to see the committee, and the committee will actually be able to see the people testifying. I think this is an exciting concept. It's a concept that can save individuals and the legislature potentially hundreds of thousands of dollars, perhaps millions of dollars. And I just think all three of these chairmen are to be commended for taking advantage of this new tool, and I hope that other chairmen will see the success of the program and will do the same.
Are there any more special orders? Announcements, committee meetings. Representative Cooper.
Speaker, the Finance Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 a.m. in the Finance Committee room on the fourth floor. There will be a bill schedule which will be posted later on today down here on the bulletin board and also on the front of the Finance Committee room.
Representative Bradley.
Mr. Speaker, House State Affairs of 115 today will be taking up four bills that we've had up previously dealing with temporary employees. Their numbers are, I won't go through the titles, but House Bill 558, 560, 562 and 564. New bills will be House Bill 507 dealing with the PERS retirement credit and occupational and non-occupational disabilities. And I believe, Mr. Speaker, I'm not absolutely correct, I think that might have been prime sponsored by a Republican. And then additionally, House Bill 744, a special appropriation to the Iditarod race.
Representative Gardner?
Judiciary Committee will meet at 3 o'clock today on the criminal code. We will not be having a 7 o'clock meeting.
Representative Rudd?
Community and Regional Affairs will meet tomorrow morning at 8:30 instead of 9 o'clock, as was announced on the calendar. We will meet at 8:30 and work on the annexations in Petersburg and Skagway, on Senate Bill 372, the sale, repurchase, and disposition of proceeds of the sale of tax foreclosed real property, and House Bill 741, state aid for extending municipal police protection services.
Representative McKinnon.
Mr. Speaker, the Commerce Committee will meet tomorrow morning at 8 for hearings on fire and property insurance rates and availability. And as Mr. Miller pointed out, at 1:15, we'll be taking testimony from Anchorage, Fairbanks, Bethel, and Nome on the teleconferencing network on those same subjects.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, Hess will not meet at 3 today. We meet at 12:15. Our teleconference, as Mr. Miller indicated, a video conference begins at 12:30 and will run to somewhere close to 3:30. The teleconference is on House Bill 632, which Mr. Miller's bill and Miller and Rudd on the death and dying. Also, Mr. Speaker, the Special Committee on the Hall Road will be meeting at 3:30 in the Senate Resources Committee Room. Mr. Speaker, one thing I did forget to mention, that teleconference today is not in the Hess Committee Room, but in the Governor's Conference Room. For some reason, the facilities are better up there.
Representative Osterbeck.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. House Resource will meet today at 1:30 p.m. to take up House Bill 720 on home sites.
Further announcements? One further committee announcement. There will be a brief meeting of the Committee on Committees Saturday, 9 a.m., Speaker's office. Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, several announcements. I've been asked to announce that the 1978 Rural Citizens Participation Conference gets underway today. This is in consultation with members of the legislature, the Office of the Governor, the State Department of Community and Regional Affairs, the Alaska Federation of Natives, the Alaska Native Federation, AFN Human Resources Committee, and Alaska Legal Services Corporation, also the Community Enterprise Development Corporation. There's a number of very important subjects. I'm not going to read them all. We have posted the agenda of the 1978 Rural Citizens Participation Conference on the board out there. I would suggest to any of us who are interested in this this sort of legislation or this sort of subject, and all of us I think should be, that you take a look at the agenda and see the special agenda items that would be of particular interest to you. Speaker, tonight apparently we have a choice of receptions, or both, hopefully. The United Fishermen of Alaska are having a reception in the Gold Room between 5:30 and 7 p.m. Upon the ninth floor, the Alaska Broadcasting Association is having a reception from 6:30 to 8 p.m. If there's no, I believe there's no announcement.
Representative Rudd?
I'd like to thank Representative Miller for reminding me about the Citizens Participation Council Conference. We have, that is the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, has scheduled a meeting with the local government task force of that conference between 1 and 3 in our committee room tomorrow afternoon. So all members of the committee and other members of the House who are interested in talking to the rural people who are here about local government concerns are invited to that meeting.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, if there are no further announcements, I'll ask unanimous consent this body to stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Hearing no objection, House is adjourned.